What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Heroes for Sale podcast. This is episode 3. First off, I just want to thank everyone who listened to episodes 1 and 2. Those came out, I think, the other day, and now we're on to episode 3. So hope you enjoy this episode. A couple of the things that I want to talk about. It was a huge, huge weekend for content and just posting stuff on Instagram, and if you hadn't had a chance to check out some of that stuff, I definitely suggest going to take a look. Over last week, I believe, is when Topps unveiled their newest 2020 design, which I was sort of surprised that they did it before the National. So if the National Sports Card Convention is coming up in Chicago, so I'll be there on Saturday and Sunday. I'll talk about that maybe later on this week, but yeah, like I said, I was surprised that Topps didn't wait until the National to unveil the design. I'm sure they could have had some sort of panel at the, like one of the things that Steve Jobs used to do at Apple, where they like talk about, maybe even talk about the cards. I think that would be kind of cool if they did something where like they explain kind of their thought process behind the design, and maybe they unveiled different parts of the design and explained it. I think that would be kind of cool. One thing that I did notice that was kind of interesting was that a lot of people wanted the white borders back on the cards. And when I was looking at like Twitter and I was looking on the Topps post when they posted about the new cards, that's what a lot of people's feedback was. They said that they wanted the white borders back. And that kind of got me thinking to like different time periods in Topps' kind of card making career where they had those white borders. And the last time they did was 2014, I believe. That's like the year that like Mookie Betts and then like Marcus Stroman, who just got traded, his card is also from 2014. 2015 was like Chris Bryant had his rookie card in there, and that had kind of the textured sort of border design. But then after that, we kind of have been seeing a lot of full bleed images on the flagship design. And I know that production of these cards has gotten a lot better, but if you really, if you look at a lot of like, if you hypothetically, if you were to go to any year from the 50s, 60s, 70s, even maybe the 80s, and you were to type in the card and then PSA, let's say 3, 4, 5, like one of the low number ones, you're going to see that the centering is really off on these cards. And I think that's one reason why Topps is kind of getting away from the white borders. I worked in a print facility my first job out of college, and that was kind of something that we ran into issues sometimes. Like when you're printing such a high volume of cards, it's kind of hard to, it's hard to consistently produce the product that you want if you're printing as much as they do. And kind of what I mean by that is, like, I don't know how many cards they're printing, but I know that they're printed, they come out in like sheets. So they come out in like an 8x8 sheet, and then they're cutting the sheet with probably like an industrial size paper cutter. Like, they're not the ones with the hands, because that would obviously, that's not realistic. And I don't even think they've ever done it that way. But if you have any sort of movement in the paper, that's just, the cut isn't going to be straight, and that's going to cause the cards to have kind of wonky looking borders. And then what ends up happening is those cards don't get sent in to get graded, because no one's, a modern card that isn't centered isn't, you just, it's a waste of time to send it in, because you're not going to get a good grade on it, and it's going to be because of the centering. Like, even if you got the quarters are perfect, corners, and the surface is perfect, it's just not going to get a good grade, and it's just not in Topps' best interest, really, to produce something that they don't think can get graded with a 10 like that. So that's kind of why I think that they're not going to be using those borders, like on a, at least on the flagship design. On like other designs where they're not printing as much product, like the, like the number of cards they're printing and cutting, they probably have a little bit more leeway in how many cards they can actually print. I just had to cut the podcast for a second because I dropped my phone and I had to make sure everything was all good. So we're getting back into, I was just talking about Allen and Ginter, and that I think they have more leeway when it comes to how many cards they can cut and print and mess up on. Not just how many total cards they're printing, but how many cards, like how many extra sheets they can print. And then they've been producing sports cards for forever, so they know what the cutting machine is going to be able to do. So yeah, I think they probably aren't going to bring back the white borders. I just don't see that happening, just because of all the reasons I just stated, where the cards probably don't grade as well. They've got to print so many. So yeah, I just think a lot of people seem like they think they can just be like, hey, the white borders, bring them back, and they will. But I also think they also have a different style they're trying to approach, and that style is more of like a futuristic modern type of design, which I think they achieved with this style, because it has kind of different texture and different gradient and like a drop shadow on it. And it, a lot of the other comment that I saw was a lot of people were saying it looked a lot like Bowman, which I personally thought Bowman was one of the best designs they had this year. So if this, because last year the 2019 design sort of translated a little bit to Bowman, so I'm interested to see where they're going to go with the Bowman design, and if they're going to announce that at the National, which that would be kind of cool if they did that. But I was, like I said, I'm surprised they waited, or they didn't wait, but I'm sure they're going to have something pretty interesting that they're going to announce at the National, which I'm super excited to hear the news about. Some of the other stuff that happened this weekend. So it was the 20th anniversary of Barry Sanders' retirement from the NFL. So Barry Sanders, I don't know. I mean, for me, unfortunately, I was just young enough where, like, that's when I first started watching sports. Like, when he retired in 98, I was 7. So, like, that's when I first kind of really was starting to comprehend sports and watch them. So, like, I just missed his career. In 98, his rookie cards, there's also, like, that 98 year is such a crazy year in the sports cards. Like, because if you think about it, here are the rookies. You got Randy Johnson. You got Barry Sanders. You have Deion Sanders, who his Yankee rookie card is in the Topps traded set for the 98 product, which also is the Ken Griffey card. So one thing that I was posting about was that, so there's two kind of main rookie cards that I saw when I was doing my research, and that's the Score rookie card, which Score was bought out by Pinnacle, and then Pinnacle was bought out by Fleer, I believe, and then Fleer, I think, was bought out by Panini. So it kind of, that's why you don't see Score anymore. It's and when I was posted about it, someone said it was more of a premium product back then, which I thought was kind of interesting, because I didn't know much about it. I think I need to do a little bit more research on some of these older companies that kind of aren't around anymore, because a lot of my focus is on Topps and Panini and Upper Deck, just because they're the only companies right now that are making sports cards. But if I want to get more into, obviously, vintage cards, that's something I'm going to have to do a little more research on. But then you look at the other Barry Sanders rookie card that popped up was the Topps traded rookie card. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Topps traded rookie card. And so I was looking at pricing for those, and I was kind of interested to see, like, there's a pretty big significant gap between the prices of these cards. And someone said in my comments that they said Score was more of a premium product, so there was less of it at the time, which, like, if you're comparing PSA 10s, like, that's definitely, there's definitely less PSA 10s of the Topps, no, of the Score. I think there's 1,600 of the PSA 10 Score rookie cards, and then there was, I think, 3,500 of the Topps traded rookie cards. And, like, then you look at the 9s and 8s, and there's, like, 10,000 of each of those, which is just crazy. I mean, these older sports cards, like, they are a little bit harder to grade, and now you're really looking at it. If you're buying these rookie cards and you want to get them at the best possible quality, like, you definitely want to go graded, especially if you're getting a card that's 20 years old. Or not, well, no, because 1989, so 30 years old at this point, because he, okay, so then, excuse me, so the dates I was talking about when Sanders retired was 99, not 89, but then that would be Sanders' rookie card is coming from 89, he retired in 99, I was 7 years old. But if you're looking for those cards, like, I thought that the Topps Traded is probably a better buy because of the price, basically. Like, I just don't see why it's only 50, 60 bucks, where the score is like 350, 300 bucks, kind of, depending on 250. It's in that price range, the 250 to 350, depending on how patient you are when you're buying it. The volume isn't as high as maybe, or selling-wise, as maybe like a modern day card, because there just aren't the supply and or the demand of the rookie card, I guess, isn't as high as someone like, just as an example, Juan DeFranco, but that's just an example, but or other, even other rookie cards in the hobby, the demand isn't as high because they're making the cards now, so that's why the demand is high, because the supply is high, essentially. One last piece for this episode that I wanted to touch on was Carlos Correa came back from injury after being out for 50 games this year. The past two seasons, he's missed at least 50 games. After 2017, 2016, when he won Rookie of the Year, and then he was part of the championship team in 2016, so I guess that would have been his rookie year. But, like, I was looking at his prices, and I thought his prices were pretty low, considering, like, he's a top five AL shortstop for sure. Like, I wouldn't even say he's close to that top five in the MLB in general. Like, he's a fairly good, really good, I think he's a pretty good player. And you can find his rookie card for, so I was looking at Topps Flagship and then the Heritage, not Bowman, because when I was looking for Bowman, the one thing that I thought was interesting was he didn't technically have like a first Bowman, and I could be mistaken here, but when I was looking, I only saw a 2013 Bowman for Carlos Correa, but it didn't have the first Bowman logo on it, so I was a little bit confused there, and I thought maybe they just missed it. That could have been the case, but so I didn't look into that one as much as I looked into the Heritage and then the Heritage and then the Flagship. So Flagship, you're looking for the update version. That's where his rookie card came from. And both of those, you can find them around 20 bucks. I was even seeing some that were selling for like 15, like $16. Like, for, if you're figuring you're spending at least 11, if not $9 to get the card graded, it seems like that's kind of low. And it seems like if you're looking at graded cards, the low you're going to be looking at is around 20, just because you don't want, the seller hypothetically isn't going to want to waste their money if they're getting a card graded. And so that's going to be it for the podcast. So I will be probably recording another episode at some point this week leading up to the National. I do want to go over some of the stuff at the National. Like I said, I'm going to be there on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have a full plan. I printed out the map, an 11x17, so I'm kind of mapping out where I want to go, doing some more research on like tips and tricks of the National, seeing some of the cool stuff, and yeah, so I have a few posts here that if you want to go take a look at kind of some of the stuff. So I posted about the new Topps card a couple times, the Barry Sanders actually one I posted a couple times, and the Correa, they're all from either this weekend or earlier last week. So yeah, definitely go take a look at those posts. Let me know what you think. I'll be, like I said, posting another episode hopefully this week, if not then early next week. But yeah, so it'll be Heroes for Sale on Instagram or A Palmer Designs on Twitter, or Adam Palmer Designs on Instagram. I own both of those Instagrams. I run both of them. I do some design work on Adam Palmer Designs. And then on Twitter, it's more just kind of shooting the shit, kind of talking about cards, kind of posting about funny sports stuff. It's kind of more of a place I don't really take as seriously as I do on Instagram with my content. But like, if you have any questions about anything that I talked about, definitely just send me a DM on Instagram or Twitter, I guess, if you want. If you're more active on Twitter, you don't have an Instagram, take a look. So yeah, that'll be it. So I will talk to everyone in the future. Have a good day or night, whenever you're listening to this.